This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. In about half an hour, we're speaking with constitutional lawyer Lim Wei Jiet on the parliamentary process for the national budget. We're also running a poll asking you, do you support looser restrictions for EPF withdrawals? We've just crossed the 100 vote threshold. Pretty mixed. What are the results breakdown looking like?
29% say yes, they support looser restrictions because it's their money. 44% say no. Yes, only as a last resort. 23% say no, bad idea. And 5% say, I don't have EPF. And it was brought to my attention, this is not necessarily just the informal sector, but also people in government service, right? They get pensions or you get their money through co-op.
Mm. So do continue to let us know what you think on the poll. We're keeping a close watch on that. But right now, we're looking at the subject of the informal sector, because all year long, we've been talking about how businesses have had to pivot in order to stay above water. And individuals have similarly had to pick up new skills in order to stay competitive. But today, we're asking the question, what are the obstacles to training and reskilling? Is it equally accessible to everyone?
This is a very imperative question, because Budget 2021 has allocated 1 billion ringgit meant for reskilling, and this will be disbursed through HRDF, the Human Resource Development Fund, also MDEC for technology-related courses, and also the Ministry of Higher Education. However, a recent study conducted by the centre found that many in the informal sector face obstacles in getting reskilled. Like, for example, if you want to pick up coding, you actually have to have a reasonable foundation in math, right, and also English literacy.
Yeah, so for more on this morning, we're speaking to the author of the study, Edwin Goh, a researcher at the centre. Edwin, thank you for joining us. So why is it important that those in the informal sector in particular have access to reskilling and training? What are the implications if they lack access to these programmes?
Okay, first of all, we focus on informal workers simply because we think they represent the bigger bulk of the Malaysian workforce. This was a conscious decision, as we identify them to be the most vulnerable to automation and digitalization. And on the questions where why is it important to actually focus on their access to reskilling opportunities is simply because if you look at the reskilling or upskilling ecosystems, most of the available opportunities are actually employment-based. If you look at initiatives provided by the Human Resource Development Fund, as well as those initiatives provided under Perkeso. And I think we are seeing these trends of increasing informalizations of jobs, specifically we're referring to the rise of the gig economies. More and more workers are now taking up informal jobs, almost like a full-time job for them. So with the anticipation that more and more working-age Malaysians entering these jobs, the questions now falls on their ability to actually climb the socio-economic mobility. And since most of the available reskilling initiatives are more of an employment base, we need to pay more attention to how these informal workers can actually reskill themselves or even to improve their incomes and pursue their career aspirations. Otherwise, we may see more and more informal workers stuck at the current jobs and trapped in their current jobs when there's no hopes to climb the socioeconomic ladder as we go on.
So with that in mind, what are the key pain points when it comes to accessibility of reskilling and training programs?
I think for non-graduate informal workers in our study, we discovered three main challenges. First, they struggle to navigate the existing skill development ecosystems, which is now extensive but fragmented. 78% of respondents in our study expressed an interest in reskilling, but 68% never participated in any reskilling programs before. Half of those actually say that they did not know how or where to access courses relevant to them. And second, we also found that they do not have access to professional career guidance in identifying what career path or what reskilling program best suits their interests and abilities. I think this is particularly problematic for those from B40 communities who may not have access to informal social networks that would offer them guidance. For example, extended family members or family friends with connections and insight that can introduce them to job opportunities or even reskilling programs. And lastly, they are also uncertain that the available reskilling programs can truly improve their future income, given that they have limited access to career advice and programs. The lack of income replacement during the durations of the program, as well as the uncertain training outcomes, only makes it more unattractive to them.
Are the current reskilling programs aligned with in-demand skills?
My current understanding of the research literature is that the problem with upskilling, reskilling the Malaysians workforce is not the sufficiency of the programs, but the workers' ability to navigate and access the programs and measure that matches their interests, needs, as well as their learning preferences. At the moment, though, Malaysia also does not have a comprehensive and interactive skills map that could inform the workers, employers, and training service providers of all industry about what skills are actually in demand in the market. The closest available initiative I can think of at the moment is the Industrial Skills Framework by the Human Resources Development Fund, HRDF. But even so, it is not yet a full-fledged skills map. So perhaps this is something we could look into developing if it is not yet in development at the moment.
So how much evidence is there that the reskilling programs in Malaysia have led individuals to actually attain better job outcomes?
So first is that not all reskilling programs come with a guaranteed outcome. Those programs that come with a guaranteed outcomes, probably the apprenticeship or train and place programs, those may guarantee job placement or income placement if the individual actually performs well or qualifies to meet the standards. At this juncture, I think there's very little evidence to tell which programs in Malaysia is more effective in helping non-graduates to land better income opportunities. The Department of Statistics Malaysia does conduct the graduate tracer studies every year, emphasizing on the employability of graduates. But I don't think there is any similar study when it comes to our reskilling programs.
Now, how much might Budget 2021 address the challenges people face when it comes to accessing reskilling programs? And if it falls short, what other policy implications are there based on your research then?
The Budget 2021 has allocated over 19 billion ringgit on various training programs across several agencies and ministries based on our internal back of envelope calculations. And most of these allocations only focus on creating more skill development opportunities. So whether these measures are effective in reskilling the workforce, I think we need more complementary measures in helping the workers access available programs, especially for those that are most vulnerable. And I'm referring to the workers who earn below the median wage or below the living wage. In terms of what kind of programs or measures, complementary measures would we need, these can range from better course curation and a one-stop resource point to better course and career guidance, more comprehensive income replacement, amongst others. In the long run, though, I think we need to consider having individual reskilling accounts to ensure the current programs are uniformly accessible for all workers.
Edwin, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. That was Edwin Goh at the Centre talking to us about a study that the Centre did looking at the reskilling of workers, particularly in the informal sector. And a couple of things that he highlighted include the fact that we don't actually have a lot of data on our existing reskilling programs and whether or not they've attained, they've helped their students to attain better jobs. And just the fact of the matter that a lot of people in these informal sectors don't actually know how or where to access these reskilling programs. That's a bit of an issue.
There are many conditions that keep people poor, right? For example, if you are not skilled, but you need to have a job in order to pay for your family, then you wouldn't have time to go and study, right? You know, it takes a great amount of discipline to do that. So that itself just locks you in because you are not able to access a higher education. So I think there are a few things here, right? So one is maybe the employment insurance scheme can be expanded to allow people to actually use that some money there to upskill themselves, because right now a lot of the funds are actually dispersed through institutions, and we also want some outcomes driven returns, right, from the program. So how can that be baked in to the system?
Indeed, and this is something that we'll be watching quite closely, but we're heading into the 7:30 news bulletin now, so be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.